on Jack Fitzpatrick, not on earnings. It's more boring than earnings. Politics in Washington. Jack, what are we looking for this week? It's like I look at the zeitgeist of the papers and all that, and it's almost the phrase I've used this morning, radio silence on infrastructure and social programs. Should I be surprised by that?
You probably shouldn't be surprised by that. At this point in Washington, we're at the point where a lot of things are happening behind the scenes, if anything. I have not heard of all that much progress recently between the progressives who are trying to get Senators Manchin and Sinema to be a little more flexible on what their red lines are. And really, it's turned into frustration from the likes of Bernie Sanders toward Senators Manchin and Sinema. The one thing that is going to happen this week is the House still has to vote on the debt limit to get that to the president's desk. But other than that, it's been pretty quiet, other than periodic bouts of frustration from the progressives.
Are they talking about liberal red lines and moderate red lines, or are they talking about the 12 things in the middle they can actually agree to?
As far as I can tell, they are talking about the moderate red lines and trying to determine exactly how red those lines are. There was the letter that Senator Manchin sent to Senator Schumer back in July saying, I don't want it to be more than $1.5 trillion, a list of demands. He then said, I can't guarantee that I will vote for it if I don't get these things. So there had been some hope that he would be flexible on that. But this is about the moderates' demands and the rest of the party trying to see how flexible they'll be on those.
Paul, Lisa and I have red lines.
Yep,
Lisa Bramwitz, her red line is she has to mention the dumb auctions.
Exactly right. All right. So, Jack, it seems to me, I'm just an amateur at this Washington stuff, but it seems to me the Republicans are unified and the Democrats are anything but. What does that reflect on this White House?
One, the Democrats are in the majority, and it is a bit easier to be unified when you're in the minority as the opponent to the governing push by the majority. Second, it's a 50-50 Senate. It's almost a 50-50 split in the House. The fact that we're talking about a second reconciliation bill in addition to the infrastructure bill, all things considered, is kind of impressive by the Democrats, but it highlights how difficult it is and that one single senator could blow this up if they think it's in their if it benefits them politically to vote no on something. So this is always going to be an absolute uphill battle for Democrats, and they know that this is probably their only chance to do something really significant because it's very likely they lose at least one chamber in 2022. This is just how it's going to be for Democrats.
It seems, you know, we all talked about kicking the can down the road, but it just seems like December is just going to be an incredibly high pressure, you know, game of chicken, if you will, down in Washington. Is there any sense of how this is going to play out? Can I just assume here up in New York on Wall Street that it's all just going to work out?
I would think it could work out. It's going to be a really, really tough month. There's a lot of uncertainty. They have the government funding deadline December 3rd. They are aiming for December for the debt limit deadline, but keep in mind, and this could actually reduce the pressure a little bit, they are increasing the debt limit rather than suspending, which means they don't really know when the next deadline will come. They're just sort of aiming for December by adding $480 billion. So that could potentially get bumped to January, and then they've got two different deadlines. But the fact that they're trying to build up all this pressure for December, one, means it's not entirely safe. They could mess this up. We could end up with a government shutdown in December or worse. And two, they're banking on making a lot of progress on infrastructure and the reconciliation bill by then, because a lot of lawmakers think that they can know more about what they have accomplished and what spending and revenues look like by December. So it reflects some hope on both parties that we'll have some things done by December.
Jack, the Wall Street Journal reports that CGI Merchant Group Miami is maybe close to a deal to buy the Trump Hotel. Explain to our audience, including me, like, where does the Trump Hotel fit into sort of downtown political Washington after he has left office? Is it like there, or is it like when you say, when someone comes into town, what does Jack Fitzpatrick say about the Trump Hotel, the old post office.
There used to be a lot more to say about it, partly because this was pre-pandemic and things have emptied out downtown D.C.
Yeah.
But one, during the Trump administration, I used to talk to our lobbying reporter who said that if you go into that hotel bar, you will see somebody notable just about any night of the week.
That was a central place.
Yeah. Two, it was very politically charged because Democrats suspected that Trump was opposing a plan for a new FBI headquarters to keep the FBI headquarters where it is near his hotel because he didn't want competition
right.
going in there. That was speculative from the Democrats, but it was a politically charged place in more ways than one. Now that D.C. is, it's not empty downtown, but things are a little bit different
right.
and Trump is gone. It's not quite what it was a year or more ago.
Our next conversation with Jack, we got to talk about the FBI building. You stand outside it and you go, this is it. Jeff Fitzpatrick, brilliant on Washington, as always.